ladies and gentlemen, Richard Cecil said, "Let family worship be short, savory, simple, plain, tender, and heavenly." Join me, my beloved, in praying what is called the common prayer with some changes. And I believe the technician has all of these things to the right of your screen. Is that correct? Almighty and most merciful Father, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways. Like lost sheep, we have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent, according to thy promises, declared unto us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Turn in your Bibles, beloved, to Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 23 and 24, as we continue to deal with the family verses, what we call the family verses. We read these verses every day for 30 years. And so that everybody in our family, the husband and the father, the wife and the mother, and the children, will be reminded by God, from God's word, what their role is still to this day. The thing we did, however, is we read the entire passage for the most part. Some days we moved around, but certain parts we read every day. Verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife." We're talking about Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, I know I have some people who cannot stand the fact, not only women, but men, some men who think they're holier than God, think that they're nicer than God, who are mad with me that I'm reading these passages every day. They're mad with me for expounding upon the verses, particularly, strangely, not about the husband. Everybody loves to beat upon the husband, including some men, because they're so whipped by their wives that they join the rebellious wife against me, because they want to have peace between themselves. He wants to have peace rather with his wife. But the truth still stands. It does not matter to me whether you get mad at me or not. Maybe this is not for you. Maybe you're not going to do this. And I assure you, you're not going to have real peace in your home. There's always going to be consternation. And sir, you will continue to be frustrated in your little man cave that she put you in. No one is trying to force anything upon anybody. If you don't want to do this, you ought not to get married. But once you get married, you're going to find out there's got to be some kind of order. In every organization, there has to be some kind of order, somebody who has the final say. Congress can do this and that, but if the president, who was voted in by the people, does not want to sign that bill, he's not going to sign it. And so nothing's going to happen. There's going to be a battle and a struggle and so forth and so on. In every business, there is a CEO. There is an owner who has the final say. And now, what they say may be wrong, but they have the final say. This is God's divine order, God's chain of command. God, Christ, the husband, the father/father, the mother, the wife/mother, and then the children. We got too many homes run by children. The children dictate everything. And the children that put the family in the poorhouse. Because we got parents who don't know how to say no. You can't have 90% of the things you say. You won't. Verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, same thing in the church. Is Christ, the pastor, the deacons, appointed leaders, and then the people. Thank God for old-fashioned pastor-led churches under Christ, where things can happen if things need to happen rather quickly. I was with a pastor the other day, bless his heart, a prophet of God. He told me that his church has given him leeway on certain things to do what needs to be done without having to go through So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's God's word on it. If Pink can sing the national anthem with the flu last night and with half of the team of the Philadelphia Eagles can play with the flu, then I can preach with whatever I might have. But I assure you I don't have the flu. This is the word of God, my dear friends. It was here before we got here. And people need to stop trying to twist the word of God. Every husband knows what I am saying is true. And every wife knows what I'm saying is true. And in most cases, your wife is like my mother. She controlled the home. She ran the family. She was not in submission to my dad. The reins and took the lead herself. There are many women ready for you to take the lead. You're not showing any signs, any manliness to take the reins back from her. And she doubts that you have the, the testicular fortitude. to take the reins back from her. And some of you are so old in your marriage now, it would be dangerous to try to do what I'm telling you to do, but you still need to do it for the glory of God. And at least let your adult children see that you're not afraid of your wife anymore, their mother. David Guzik writes in his fine commentary on the Bible, he says, Paul presents here a third reason for a Christian wife's submission to her husband. The relationship of the husband and wife is a model of the union between Jesus Christ and the church. Can somebody say amen? It's a beautiful thing. Far beyond our little heads, what God has done. This point is simple and clear. We have a model for the marriage relationship. The relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. In that relationship, the headship of Jesus Christ is unquestioned. Isn't that true? Nobody doubts who's in charge of the church. Nobody doubts who's the head of the church. Nobody. I don't know anybody in their right mind would question that Christ is in charge of the church, that he's the head of the church. I don't know of anybody in their right mind who would think otherwise. I just don't. Even lost people know that. So also is the husband the head of the wife, or if you will, the team, is what he's saying. That is the one flesh relationship of husband and wife. See, this is the problem that many married people don't understand, and that I didn't understand when we first got married. My wife and I are very introverted people and very independent-minded people. And to be honest, I wanted to get married primarily for sex. And I thought, you know, you do your thing and I'll do mine and we'll meet together to take care of business in the bedroom and so forth and so on. And I believe many people, they may not admit it, get married along those lines. Thank God for those who get married for what Charles Swindoll called the original match, or original, or whatever, matchstick, or whatever he said years ago. And we thank God for those couples who have that Romeo and Juliet type situation. When you get married under God, something happens, a bond develops, and it's called this, what we just mentioned, this one flesh thing. This one flesh thing is a very powerful thing. And this is not something you choose to do or make it. It's something God does when you vow before him in marriage. And if you don't do it his way, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a mess. In other words, if you want to try to do it the way I had in mind, you know, hey, let's get together, take care of business, but let's go ahead on and keep on living the way we were living, doing what we were doing. As far as work and stuff like that, you do your thing, I do mine, and let's be this little, you know, this modern couple thing, and two salaries and two bank accounts or whatever. Let's get it going on. But when you get married, something happens. There's a bond that is created called the one flesh thing, and it is something else. And when you try to tear it apart, it's like tearing your hand off your arm or your head off of your neck. It's an extremely painful thing. And if you try to live apart, separate, independent, little introverted people, like my wife and I were, you know, not physically apart, but, you know, do your own thing kind of marriage, it doesn't work. Maybe for lost people, but not for Christians, because God does something special. And, I don't know how he does all of that, but your hearts, everything about you is knit together, and you have to do it God's way or it will not work. Now back to the text. Perhaps the Christian wife doesn't want a... If that is the case, the wife does not understand a biblical marriage and will always work against it. A head, that is, a husband over her, or a leader of the team between husband and wife. Now, you hear me well on this, my beloved, because this is what many of you are going through, husband and wife. This is what you're going through right now. You're trying to do it your little newfangled way, like I tried to do it, and so many have. But if you don't do it God's way, it's not going to work. If that is the case, the wife does not understand a biblical marriage and will always work against it in one And my wife, being a strong-willed Jamaican woman, and anybody who knows anything about Jamaican women, they're good in many areas as far as faithfulness and stuff like that. And they're good in the bedroom. But being the strong-willed, rebellious type woman, Jamaican woman that she is, mixed with Negro, Chinese, and white on the Jamaican island, my wife, and she will admit this and has admitted this, fought against this idea of the husband being the head. To say that she was submissive would be a lie. She was not, but I was big and bad enough to deal with it. It didn't faze me. I knew what God said, and I knew that other way of letting the wife run the household from my family's dysfunctional experience that I came out of, and her family's dysfunctional experience that she came out of, was not going to work. We could not build our family on that faulty foundation. We had to build it on the biblical foundation. And God showed me that quite early. And so while she opposed this principle, I opposed her rebelliousness. And I won by the grace of God. And the family has been blessed because I stood up against that stubbornness and rebelliousness. and this lack of understanding, as Brother Gusick so nicely put it. It took a while, but that's okay. Most things take a while like this when you're coming out of a dysfunctional background. Thank God for those Christian families that have a long, strong heritage of obeying the Word of God and seeing great wives and mothers, and then they produce great wives and mothers. Thank God for those beautiful situations. And I thank God that my wife has apologized and has repented of that, and she is not perfect, but she's better than what she was. And I pray for that to happen in your home, because without it, you're not going to have real peace. You can settle for fake peace like my dad did, but you're not going to have real peace. Back to the text. It is the same dynamic as a Christian saying he doesn't want Jesus to be his head. That's basically what the wife is saying. And really, that's what she's doing. If she is not willing to submit to you, sir, as the husband, she's really not. It's not about you. And I kept reminding my wife of this. I feel sorry for you people constantly trying to make it about a flesh and blood situation. It's never a flesh and blood situation. It's whether or not the husband is going to obey God, and whether or not the wife is going to obey God, and whether or not the children are going to obey God. That's what it's about. You're not disobeying. I told her over and over, you're not disobeying me, you're disobeying God. It's very simple. It's not about you, man. It's not about her and you. It's about you and God, and her and God, and your children and God. And I reminded not only my wife, but my children. I have told my children, whatever you do it for the glory of God. You're not doing it for me, because I'm dead, number one. I know you, and I tell them, I know you don't understand that, but I'm dead. I'm dead. I've already accomplished what God wanted me to accomplish, way more. I'm trying to help you do great things. That's the only reason why I'm here, to preach the gospel to those who are lost and to help you succeed and help you have at least half the great life that God has blessed me to have. And I want you to have an even greater life. I want you to do even greater works. And I'm here to guide you and to help you. But whatever you do it because you trust in God, because you love God. I told my wife this as well. You know, whatever you do here, you do it because you trust in God, because you love God back, because you fear God, you reverence God, you obey God. You want to obey God and be faithful to Him. And then it turns out to be a very beautiful thing. Can somebody say amen? Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. We praise you and we thank you for your chain of command. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that will help us to obey your holy word and have joy and peace and productivity in the home, because a godly Christian home is not only joyful and peaceful, but also productive and getting things done for the kingdom and being a help and blessing to other people. When we have cacophony and confusion and disobedience and foolishness, rebelliousness and not honoring the head, you, God, Christ, and in the home, the husband for the wife, the children for the parents, we waste time and not get things done. So have mercy and grace upon us in our families, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our rebelliousness, our stubbornness, our foolishness, the wasting of time and talent, and help us to repent and get back on the firing line together as one flesh, doing your will, for your glory, and for the salvation of the lost, and for the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, join me in reading our devotional Bible passage at Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. I may stop it sooner than that, but we'll see. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever cried unto the Lord? Some of you need to cry unto the Lord this morning, don't you? Because you're in trouble. Isn't it interesting and isn't it amazing how Christians are always in trouble almost all of the time? And not always because of their sins, oftentimes because of their sins and their failures to obey God. But sometimes not. Isn't it interesting how Christians collect enemies and people who are constantly trying to block them and hinder them and hurt them? It is amazing. You don't even have to try. But if you show up with Christ, there's going to be somebody there looking at you funny. Somebody there who does not like you on the job. It is interesting and amazing. Verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Somebody ought to say amen right there. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, in these verses there is reference to the deliverance from Egypt and perhaps that from Babylon, but the circumstances of travelers in those countries are also noted. It is scarcely possible to conceive the horrors suffered by the hapless traveler when crossing the trackless sands, exposed to the burning rays of the sun. The words describe the case of those whom the Lord has redeemed from the bondage of Satan, who passed through the world as a dangerous and dreary wilderness, often ready to faint from troubles, fears, and temptations. Have you ever been there? As I said, some of you are there right now, because as the end of the world draws near, troubles increase, don't they, for the saint of God. Those who hunger, back to the text, and thirst after righteousness, after God and communion with him, shall be filled with the goodness of his house. already know what the estates are, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for church servant leadership. We thank you, Lord, for all pastors, some who are doing 100% your will, a few at least. But Lord, we thank you for all of those who are trying, and give them your grace, your strength to be all that you want them to be. And we pray that you would use them for your glory, praise, and honor as they are on the front lines. We pray for all pastors, we pray for all evangelists, we pray for all missionaries and Bible teachers. We pray for all church servant leaders, all denominational servant leaders, all ministry workers. And we pray that you'll give them wisdom, give all of us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and give us also discernment. To be able to see things quickly, make quick decisions for the flocks. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon all of these people and upon all of the estates. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump, and all governmental officials, based upon your holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, not just some, all men, not just white or black, all men, not just the ones we like, all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Can somebody say amen to the word of God? Again, Lord, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration, Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Legislative Affairs and Senate liaison Amy Schwanger, all leaders of federal agencies, including Securities, Investor Protection Corporation, President and CEO William S. Jasian, all state governors, including Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin, all city mayors, including Cleveland, Ohio Mayor Frank Jackson. And we pray, Danae, for all of these people, all members of Congress, including New Mexico Senator Tom Udall, and all law enforcement officials, including Miami, Florida Police Chief Rodolfo Lanes, all military leaders, especially James Mad Dog Mattis, who's doing a fantastic bang-up job, and we thank you for this man of the military and his love for people, his wisdom. And we thank you for older men being in charge. We pray that you'll bless them. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for David G. Perkins, commanding general of the U.S. Army, Training and Doctrine Command, leaders of nations around the world, Cyprus's president, Nikos Anastasiadis, and we pray for the modern day David Benjamin Netanyahu, and the peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people. We pray for the citizens, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, provide salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon them, not only in America but around the world. We thank you for your love, Holy Father God, for all of us and the least of these, and for all of us, live by your grace and make it by your grace. I'm more amazed now about regarding your love and your grace and your long suffering and your favor than I was when I first got saved. And I thank you for it, for not only me and my family, but all of the people. We pray also for the media, the traditional media, which is in many cases running amok. And we pray for the new media. We pray that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved and deliver the people from lying and making up stuff. And we're to the point where news is not even news anymore. We pray that they would tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And we pray that you would order their steps and all of our steps and direct our ways. And then, Holy Father God, we pray for current events around the world, not to inform you, but rather to be obedient to you. We pray for the comfort of the families of the two people killed in a train collision in South Carolina, and for the recovery of over 100 people who were injured. And Holy Father God, we pray for the strange happenings happening in New York and in another foreign country, and even in Dallas, of people going around damaging people's cars and scaring the daylights out of people on bicycles, on mopeds, or just walking, I believe in Dallas, taking a sledgehammer to police cars. Holy Father God, it seems that people are in a rage, as you talked about in the book of Psalms. They're losing their minds. The devil is driving them crazy. And Lord, we pray that you would restrain these people and protect innocent people. And we pray that you will save those who are lost. We also pray for an end to the fighting in Syria, for the protection of civilians, and for the recovery of the devastated country. We pray for the many in the Middle East and North Africa who are leaving their countries to find homes elsewhere, often under very dire and desperate circumstances. Bring them to salvation through Christ and grant them safety, protection, and favor in the eyes of others. And then, Holy Father God, we pray for the hundreds of folks who have given us the privilege to pray for them. And we thank you for entrusting us with these prayer requests. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon all of these people. Hear and answer all of their prayers and their prayer requests. And hear and answer our prayers for them as well. And we pray for just a few by name. We pray for Dilip. Please work things out in his favor. Give him a complete turnaround in his life, Daniqua. Bless him with health. He's also praying for wealth, well-being, a great career, and healthy relationships. And we pray also for Kanisha. Please get her out of the bad relationship that she is in and break all soul ties she has to it. We pray, Holy Father God, for Arlene. Please bless her with a great place to stay. Bless her with good health and save her soul. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who have trusted you as Savior And we pray for Joseph. We pray for Rick. And we pray for Al. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you through this ministry. We pray for Bobby. We pray for Patience. And we pray for Damie. And Lord, we commit these dear souls into your hands. And we commit our souls into your hands. Let your will is titled The Compelling Majesty of His Power by Oswald Chambers. I learned the other day that Oswald Chambers died as a young man, but oh, did God use him in a mighty way. As Martin Luther King Jr. Said, longevity has its place, but it's important that we all do God's will. Amen, somebody. Oswald Chambers did that with his young life. Second Corinthians, and by the way, young people, don't wait to do great things. In fact, if you're going to do something great, more than likely you're going to do it as a young person. When your mind is very powerful, when you have the energy, and you have the new ideas, there's nothing like a young man and a young woman on fire for God to do something great. If you're going to do something great, it's probably going to be between 18 and 30. So do it now. If you have a dream, if you have a vision, do it now. Don't wait till you're 50. Many people don't know this, but I wrote letters to young black men in my 20s. And then letters to young black women came later, but I was in my 20s and traveling all over the country and around the globe at the time. And that's another thing I want to tell you. If you want to travel, do it while you're young. Traveling is not for old people, contrary to what people think. These people who say, I'm just going to travel when I get old. You're going to be in pain while you're traveling. So the great things that God wants you to do, go ahead on and do them now if you have a dream from God and a vision from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us. Paul said that he was overpowered, subdued, and held as in a vice by the love of Christ. Very few of us really know what it means to be held in the grip of the love of God. We tend so often to be controlled simply by our own experience. The one thing that gripped and held Paul to the exclusion of everything else was the love of God. The love of God. When you hear that coming from the life of a man or a woman, it is unmistakable. Let's sing The Love of God as our closing song today. You will know that the Spirit of God is completely unhindered in that person's life. When we are born again by the Spirit of God, our testimony is based solely on what God has done for us. And rightly so. But that will change and be removed forever once you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Only then will you begin to realize what Jesus meant when he went on to say, "You shall be witnesses to me." Not witnesses to what Jesus can do, that is basic and understood, but witnesses to he himself. We will accept everything that happens as if it were happening to him, whether we receive praise or blame, persecution or reward. No one is able to take this stand for Jesus Christ who is not totally compelled by the majesty of his power and his love. It is the only thing that matters. And yet it is strange that it's the last thing we as Christian workers realize. Paul said that he was gripped by the love of God. Are you gripped by the love of God, dear friend? And that is why he acted as he did. Are you more amazed at the love of God now than you were when you first got saved? People could perceive him as mad or sane. He did not care. There was only one thing he lived for: to persuade people of the coming judgment of God and to tell them of the love of God through Christ. Amen, somebody. For God so loved the world. Paul was gripped by God's love. This total surrender to the love of God in Christ is the only thing that will bear fruit in your life. And it will always leave the mark of God's holiness and his power. Never drawing attention to your personal holiness at all. There's nothing that I could even add to that. This young man was on fire for God. From what I understand, he died at around age 37. Is that correct, technician? Let's make sure we get that accurate now. I want to make sure that we're right on that, because I thought he was a much older man. Whatever his age, he was on fire for the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for all that we have been reminded of. Most of us already know these things, but a big part of your ministry is to be reminded of these things so that we can confess our sins and repent and turn from our evil ways and obey your holy word and do your will. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do everything that your holy word tells us to do. For your glory, praise, and honor, for the salvation of the lost, and for the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord in the free pardon of your sins, the Bible says you would go to hell. Now, if you don't want to go to hell, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, and we die spiritually because of sin. The body goes to the funeral home and to the grave. The soul goes to hell immediately after we die. That leads me to my third point. Accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now today. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, for he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again. For he is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took all of our sins away. And God wants you to believe on him. It's as simple as that. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. That's the only reason why I'm living, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, if you would simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, and believe that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and pray and ask him to save you, he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Follow me phrase by phrase, repeat after me phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you by breaking some of your Ten Commandments, such as lusting after people and things, such as stealing from others, and such sins as lying and dishonesty. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. As I now believe, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn away from my old sinful life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven, according to the Word of God. not what I think or what you think or how we may feel. Our trust is in what God said. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
He said